Good morning. It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. And the day before Halloween, too, so that means, we should be wearing costume, but we're not. We decided not to get too far ahead of ourselves today. We also are, in a way, kind of continuing a political perspectives tradition here in the run-up to the election. More on that to come here. But before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of Perspectives by phone and email at 414-1234. If it's local from you to us, if it's long distance, we pick up the tab, 800-926-8809. And if your preferred means of communication is email, you can get us perspectives at WFSU.org. Send us a tweet if you prefer that, at WFSU Perspective. I'm Tom Blindigan. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, everyone talks a lot about ethics nowadays, and it is the political season. And so charges of unethical behavior sometimes fly fast and furious back and forth twixt the candidates. However, in the city of Tallahassee, there is a newly named ethics officer who joins us live here in studio today. Julie Meadows Keefe, a longtime lawyer with Florida state roots, was named the new ethics officer. When exactly, Julie?
I started October 1st.
Yay.
So it's been almost a month at the city, and it's been a great month so far.
Okay. And it was back in March, I believe, that the city commission adopted the position of ethics officer, and there was something like, 150 applications for the job or something?
I believe there were. I hadn't realized that so many people were anxious to have the job, and so it was an honor to get selected.
Okay. Your background, Stetson? I believe.
Stetson undergraduate school, and then I was FSU for law school, and I left Tallahassee for several years in private practice. Then I returned here, went back into private practice, and actually went into state employment in about 2002, and I worked at the Department of Health for almost 10 years, and in the last several years of my time there, I was the HIPAA compliance officer, a chief legal counsel, and actually served as the ethics officer for the department and in charge of all their compliance responsibilities.
Wow, a good background there, particularly for HIPAA, which can be almost impenetrable with all the different permutations of that
correct
piece of law.
And we have 67 counties in Florida, so 67 county health departments delivering care to patients. So I'm trying to keep all of that secure was an interesting challenge. And so part of what I learned in that job that's applicable to what I'm doing now with the city is fostering awareness of the law and kind of inculcating that in your daily practice at your job so that you're always in the back of your mind remembering your responsibilities, whether that's HIPAA or ethics law. So I kind of view the job of compliance officer, regardless of the law you're trying to get people to comply with, is helping them to understand it in terms that they can relate to and that they know what to do in their job to perform in a ethical or lawful way.
Okay, so it's as much educator as enforcer, kind of, sort of.
That's correct. You first want to get people in a position where they're familiar with what's expected of them. And you want to do it in hopefully a non-threatening way. And, I think there are so many state employees in Tallahassee and folks that work for the government. I think most people would believe, having worked with the state, that most people are very ethical and very committed to those principles of public service when they go to work for the people of the state. So whether you're working for the city or the state, I think most people start from a place of wanting to do a good job and serve the public.
Now, we also, and full disclosure here, we have a ballot initiative that is coming up, and you with all the early voting that we have had, you may have already cast a ballot, yay or nay, on this one. But it is within the city of Tallahassee. It is a an alternate approach to ethics oversight, which is being promulgated by a group called Citizens for Ethics Reform. And Dan Krasner, who's also with heading up Integrity Florida and is part of this group, he is joining us here via phone to talk about the relative merits of their position. Morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, wanted to give us a brief overview of what you folks are pushing for. And first, how did this Citizens for Ethics Reform group come about, Dan?
Sure. Well, Citizens for Ethics Reform is a broad and diverse group. We have as co-chairs Anita Davis, who's a former Leon County Commissioner. There's Marilyn Wills, who's the chair of Integrity Florida. She's a past president of the League of Women Voters. Also, Marilyn served on the city's ethics advisory panel as an alternate. And Catherine Baer, who's chair of the Tea Party Network statewide. Also, Common Cause and the Florida Alliance of Retired Americans have endorsed the ethics amendment.
Okay, and how did this whole thing get started, Dan?
Well, this got started really thanks to the city. The city decided that ethics was important as a policy topic for our city to tackle. Convened an ethics advisory panel, put together really an esteemed group of Tallahassee citizens, and did some good work on ethics policy. So I met Josh Silver from an organization called Represent Us at a conference, and they have some additional ideas for taking on corruption. And we're looking for a city to that would be interested in the issue. And I said, well, Tallahassee has been spending a lot of time on ethics. What a great place to pursue an anti-corruption amendment and go a few steps further than the city.
Okay, so you guys put together the panel then and drew up a list of recommendations, which were, I think, pretty well received by city commission, with maybe one exception.
I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't hear the question.
Oh, okay. The recommendations that you folks came up with as far as addressing the ethics oversight responsibility for the city was well received, but they weren't accepted in full, right?
Yeah, the city commission adopted a number of the most of the ethics advisory panel recommendations, but the most important one. The real big difference between the current direction of the city and where the amendment would take the city of Tallahassee is regarding the ethics officer position. Do we want the current direction of the ethics officer reporting to the city attorney and city auditor and working at their direction, or working for us, the people? The amendment calls for an independent ethics officer who would report to an independent board of seven appointed volunteer citizens with ethics expertise.
Okay, and who does the appointment of that particular board, Dan?
That board would have members appointed by the presidents of Florida State and FAMU, the state attorney, the chief judge of the second district, and the city commission. Those would be the first five seats. And from those appointees, they would pick two more Tallahassee residents to make it a seven-member board.
Okay, because I was just wondering, is there anything in statute that allows a group like that, appointed as it is from various parts of the community, to provide oversight over a municipality to essentially oversee the city manager, the city commission, all city officials? Is that within statute as it stands?
Based on models that are in place in Palm Beach County, Miami-Dade, and Jacksonville, the Jacksonville model is probably the closest to this independent ethics board. Also, the 19th statewide grand jury report from it was under Governor Crist, convened under Governor Crist, recommended that metropolitan communities put together an ethics board and a stronger ethics code locally.
Okay. I'll tell you what, why don't we, since we're getting some static on the line here, we'll take just a quick little time out, Dan, to allow you to maybe call back in and get that thing taken care of, because we are getting we often get static on this show, but that isn't the good type that we're really looking for. So we'll let you call back in here in just a second and rejoin the conversation, okay? And you're invited to join the conversation, too, at 414-1234 local. It's 800-926-8809. Long Distance Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and we are talking about ethics with Julie Meadows Keefe, who is the City of Tallahassee's newly appointed ethics officer, and will be rejoined here by Dan Krasner with the Citizens for Ethics Reform here in just a couple moments. Julie, let me ask you, you talked about your background in law and what you'd done over at the Department of Health and all that, but how do you view this position, I mean, just for you, since it never existed before?
Well, it's a really exciting opportunity. I've lived in Tallahassee over 20 years, so I view this basically as my home. And I think it's a great place to live and to raise a family. And when I saw this position was open, I thought it was a great way to serve the community, to not only go and educate city employees and set up a comprehensive and cohesive ethics compliance program at the city, but also to engage with citizens. And I feel like that's a really important part, that transparency is something that we talk about a lot in government, but it's hard to necessarily implement that. So I think a big part of this job is engagement with citizens who have questions, concerns, or complaints that want to get responded to, that they've got that contact person and they get feedback. So I think one thing that the Ethics Advisory Panel did very well was hold a series of 19 meetings since they started in 2012 in September. They had 19 meetings. They had input from numerous citizens, and the city actually gets credit for establishing this Ethics Advisory Panel. While Dan's organization was instrumental in a lot of the recommendations, the city did undertake this themselves, to kind of demonstrate that they were serious about ethics. And in point of fact, the chairwoman of the committee, Martha Barnett, commended the city for doing this and being ahead of the curve. What you'll notice is that in some of these other larger metropolitan areas, as Dan referenced, they get these groups due to problems.
Yes, and that is something that we can talk about more on the other side of the break as we rejoin Dan Krasner with Citizens for Ethics Reform and our in-studio guest, Julie Meadows Keefe, here on Perspectives, 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We shall return. Proceeding in an ever-so-ethical fashion, welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. And let's go to the phones as we kick things off here for our next segment with our old friend, Mr. Mahoney. Hey, Reed, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I wish I could tell you. What's your Halloween costume going to be?
I'll probably go as a musician. just try something new.
No one will recognize you, Reed. How's that going to happen there, man?
Here's my comment and question, Tom. Ever since Dan started this push, this ethics reform, this phrase has kind of stuck with me because, frankly, I always thought that in Tallahassee we were extremely fortunate and that our elected officials, regardless of how you feel about the decisions they make, have generally speaking over the years, with a few minor slip-ups, demonstrated a really high level of ethical performance in office. I wonder why we need an ethics commission anyway for the city when we have voters. As far as I'm concerned, I consider myself well-informed. I follow the news. I know what these guys and girls are doing. And I am the ethics commission because I can vote them out. They screw up. So why do we really need this?
Okay. We'll give Julie a chance, and then we'll go back and ask Dan. Same thing. Julie, how come?
Well, according to the city, in the way that we've passed our ordinance, we don't have the independent board set up in our ordinance. And we kind of agree with the caller that if there are significant issues, we would, you know, with our structure in place, investigate those issues as appropriate. We would refer those to, if it was necessary, to law enforcement folks to investigate that. Or we also have our Florida Ethics Commission that has jurisdiction to investigate those types of complaints. And if allegations come to light and are proven and then are publicized, we trust that the voters would act accordingly to remove that person from office. So we tend to agree with the philosophy that we continue to educate positively our elected and appointed officials and employees. And if violations come to light, we refer them for appropriate action and the voters act accordingly. So we are trusting the process.
Okay. Dan Krasner, your take on that. Let's see. Dan? Let's see. See if Dan is still with us here. Okay. We'll let our gang back in the booth check that out and see if we can reconnect with Dan Krasner with the Citizens for Ethics Reform. I'm recalling one particular incident that may have precipitated a lot of this, and this was a number of years ago, Julie. This was the huge hue and cry and controversy over the City Commission's deferred compensation issue that had come up. And in response to that hue and cry and an awful lot of public Sturm und Drang, if I can even use that term, the commission backed off and just said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And so obviously elected officials can respond to public pressure if the electorate, even before they cast a ballot, decides that something just doesn't smell right, even if it is perfectly legal.
Right. And we call that the smell test, that especially today when we are streaming, when we've got the Florida channel, we've got your fine channel, we've got information flowing out of all of our government branches now. So folks are able to get engaged and know what's going on. And then, of course, we know that they take to social media and various channels to communicate their dissatisfaction with things. And that if elected officials are smart and they want to remain in office, they're going to be mindful of those citizens' concerns, or they'll find themselves out of office during the next election cycle. So we think that with increased transparency and our commitment to it, that citizens are, for the most part, trustworthy as an ethics board.
Okay. Dan Krasner rejoins us here from Citizens for Ethics Reform. And your take on just why do you think this is needed, Dan?
Yeah, why do we need the Tallahassee Anti-Corruption Amendment and Independent Ethics Board?
Correct.
Well, look no further than the FBI and grand jury investigation of public officials awarding lucrative construction contracts to their friends and campaign supporters out of the school district. I mean, that's exactly the kind of misuse of taxpayer dollars that the amendment would stop from happening in the city.
Okay, well, why then just the city government being the beneficiary of this this situation? Shouldn't it also be an initiative maybe to expand it to not only the Leon County School District, but also the County Commission? I mean, in days past, you know, there's been some maybe some dicey things going on, some allegations that came out that things weren't quite right over there at the courthouse, and this could help there too.
Oh, absolutely. I would hope in the future other levels of government would take a look at stronger ethics enforcement and how to deal with corruption locally. But you know, this is a place where we can start. We can come together November 4th and say yes for the Tallahassee Ethics and Anti-Corruption Amendment, take a stand against corruption.
Okay, Dan, talk specifically about how that amendment, if enacted, would differ from the situation we now have with Julie Meadows Keefe reporting to the city attorney and city auditor, and what's in place right now. How does it differentiate from that?
Sure. So under the amendment, the ethics officer would become truly independent, would be accountable, and would report to the
the people of Tallahassee, the citizens of Tallahassee, through a 7-member independent ethics board of volunteer citizens with ethics expertise. You know, presently, the ethics officer reports to the city attorney and city auditor. Now, keep in mind that the city attorney sued Citizens for Ethics Reform, tried to stop the people from having a voice this election, November 4th, with the ballot initiative. Thankfully, the judge agreed with Citizens for Ethics Reform, and we won the lawsuit to give the people a voice on ethics and corruption.
I think that there's also some provisions in there about what campaign contribution limitation and even a refund proviso, isn't there?
Yes. So you have to tackle corruption with both ethics enforcement while officials are in office and anti-corruption measures on their way to office in the campaign season. So there's a $250 limit on campaign contributions for the city. We already have that now in the county. Leon County voters have overwhelmingly supported that measure when it was on the ballot. So this would match up the city contribution limit for candidates with the county. You know, presently, you can give $1,000 to a candidate for city commission. Under this amendment, that would be lowered to $250, which is what we have in the county.
All right. And what's that refund provision? It's sort of like a money-back guarantee, or how does that work?
Right now, there are only about 1,500 individuals that made contributions to our Tallahassee city commissioners, and most of them have, or at least the larger donors, have a stake in what happens at City Hall. They get contracts, or they're angling for contracts. So we basically allowed the funding of our elections to go to the special interest groups. So what the amendment calls for is essentially a public financing system like we have in cities and counties and states around the country. There's a similar system in Miami-Dade where there's an opportunity to get some clean money into the process of a small donor refund program. So if you're an individual, you live in the city limits of Tallahassee, if you make a campaign contribution, you'd be able to voluntarily request $25 of your tax dollars back from the city. Decide that you want $25 of your tax dollars that you already give City Hall to support clean money in our political process.
Okay, and what kind of expected, revenue impact might that have for the city, particularly in hotly contested elections?
Well, the good thing is there's no budget requirement to this amendment. You know, any funding for any part of this amendment will be up to the city commission. And we already have an ethics position. The ethics board would have volunteers. So the city's already committed most of the resources you would need to implement the amendment. And they'll make a decision on what's an appropriate budget for the small donor refund program. But if you look at this election cycle, those 1,500 Tallahassee residents all decided to voluntarily request a $25 rebate. That would amount to about $37,500. Now, of course, the goal is that more people would contribute and get invested in our local elections. So, I mean, that figure could go up. That's a small price to pay to clean up our elections.
Okay, let's go back to the phones here. Bill is on line 4 and has been patiently waiting. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you. I think it's appropriate that we're having this conversation around Halloween. Because I think our democracy is pretty much dead on arrival anyway, and we're attempting to put another mask on the fact that we don't really have a democracy. You go in front of a city council, city commission, and speak for 3 minutes. That's all that regular citizens get. But if you are contributing to campaigns, thousands of dollars, you can talk all night long, and say what you need to say. I think, this is a very unethical process. You have boards like the Community Redevelopment Authority, the City Human Relations Council that do nothing. The police department brutally attacks citizens and doesn't trust citizens, is told not to trust citizens. And, this incident on Dunn Street was just very, very ugly and videotaped, as well as other ones that go on. And we need something far beyond ethics. We need to really sit down and examine what is going on here and what do regular citizens have a right to have access to. There's no transparency in terms of what's going on here. I mean, you know, and the media in this town is either dying on its last legs or has given up for, commercialization.
Bill, what alternatives do you think might be workable? You've really talked about a list of horribles there that need to be addressed. Anything that...
Well, the first thing is, do we have the courage to discuss what's going on in our country and in this city? You can't even get to the point where you can have an honest, open discussion because, you know, I mean, of course we can't afford to just throw everybody in the garbage can. And we have to have an alternative, but we have to discuss it and examine what's intelligent and what's beneficial to all concerned. Because there are groups of people in this city, in this nation, that don't get anything. They're being trampled in the dirt, and it's walking up the economic ladder so that even the middle class now are clinging by their fingernails to what they have. And everybody's scared to even open their mouth and say anything.
Bill, I'm glad you opened your mouth and said something today, though. There's, I think, plenty of opportunity for folks to exercise more involvement in government because you go to a city commission, county commission, school board meeting, unless there is a really, really hot issue that has caused a lot of controversy, you don't see a lot of citizens getting up and talking or providing input to their commissioners. The one thing that I think is wonderful about Tallahassee is that there's still accessibility to our elected officials. You know, you run into them every time you go to the grocery store, just about. And I see a lot of people buttonholing their commissioner or a school board member, whatever, saying, why don't you guys do so-and-so and such-and-such? And if they get 4, 10, 50 other like-minded people behind them, it can make a difference. Julie?
Well, and I think we have seen, in light of some of the things the caller mentioned, some community meetings addressing things like gun violence and engagement with citizens. So, I mean, I think Tallahassee provides a lot of opportunity for citizen input, even when the issue is difficult to talk about. Even when the issue is controversial, I think there's been openness to want to try to talk and solve problems in a constructive way.
Okay. If I can ask you, Dan Kressner, if you're still on the line there, about the speaking of background and all that, we were talking about the Citizens for Ethics Reform on the local thing. You guys had come under a little bit of criticism because of what you had referenced earlier, the fact that there are some out-of-state folks who were helping you out in this regard, and that had led some people to critique you on the basis of, well, these aren't local people addressing local problems and all of that kind of thing. What do you say?
Well, we have support from United Republic and Represent Us. They list all their board members, and they give all their donor information out. It's a really good group. They take on corruption all over the country. And they came up with the American Anti-Corruption Act, which is a model policy that some of our ethics amendment is built around. So that's a good thing that they were willing to share some resources and help our campaign here in Tallahassee. We gathered more than 20,000 signatures from Tallahassee voters to get the amendment on the ballot. Only about 27,000 voters even showed up for the primary election. So that's a big number in our community saying they wanted this on the ballot, they wanted to vote, they wanted to take a stand against corruption.
There were... let me see, something, I think a big reaction to maybe the Citizens United decision was a sort of a kickstarter for all this, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. And the corrupting influence of money in politics is the defining issue of our time.
Yeah, that
I mean, you just see the ads, the negativity all over the place. this Tallahassee anti-corruption amendments, an opportunity to take a stand against all that before something, before Tallahassee, who is a great city. We're ranked number one in all kinds of categories, so let's be ranked number one for our ethics program. And I know the amendment will help us get there. And also to Bill's point, the caller, having an ethics board locally would build on what Julie was talking about, where we do have a lot of opportunities for our residents to be heard. The ethics board would just be one more forum, and a really good forum to try to filter out some of the questions and allegations. Some of the uncivil discussion at city commission meetings would probably be more appropriate to be addressed in the setting of an ethics board. Try to get rid of the frivolous concerns and complaints and help the public be heard.
Okay. Coming up on break here in just a moment, we invite other folks, though, to get involved in our open and ever-so-ethical discussion here on Perspectives Today, as we have as our guest Julie Meadows Keefe in studio, who is the City of Tallahassee's current and first-ever ethics officer. And we also have online Dan Krasner from Integrity Florida, who is representing Citizens for Ethics Reform, which has that we can't call it a constitutional amendment because it is not a constitutional amendment, but it is a charter amendment for the City of Tallahassee on their alternate proposal for ethics oversight here in the city. Your input too, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, City of Tallahassee ethics, a couple different ways of looking at that question. We're trying to get as much input on that as we possibly can today. Let's join up with Cliff. He's given us a call here on 414-1234. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Tom. This is Cliff Sale.
Hey, Cliff. Good to hear from you. Now, what part of the universe are you calling in from today?
I am literally just this morning returned to Tallahassee, and I'm so glad to be home and also to tune into Perspectives and hear this wonderful work that's going on. I wanted to congratulate everybody for pushing this issue forward. It is so important. When I was a county commissioner a few years back, I led an effort for a charter amendment on the county side to reduce contributions from 500 to 250. That was, a small step in the right direction, and my hope was that other people would pick up and move in the same direction. Clean elections around the country work. There are loopholes that candidates can figure their way around, but that has to be acknowledged and people have to be, aware of it. I'm excited to be home and see this happening and want to plug in and help wherever I can.
Oh, that's great, Cliff. Well, we were talking a little bit about this whole soft money component here that has even our friends who are running for Congress here in the 2nd Congressional District somewhat concerned. Both Gwen Graham, the Democrat, and the incumbent Republican Steve Sutherland remarking recently that they can't even get their own messages out now because of all the outside soft money that's funding, all these negative ads that are just clogging the airway, particularly in the Tallahassee market. How do you get a handle on that kind of thing?
That's a larger challenge than we're able to deal with locally. It's just I think there's a effort nationwide to have a constitutional amendment, a U.S. constitutional amendment to ban the impacts of decisions like Citizens United, I was, I think, one of the first victims of Citizens United in my reelection defeat in 2010 when a group called the Citizens to Protect Florida, should have been Citizens to Protect Florida from Cliff, put $250,000 into defeating me and raising all kinds of negative issues, as you'll recall, and it was successful. And it's gone into such lengths now with so much money in politics all over the country. I've just come from the Northeast where it's unbelievable. My state up there, I'm kind of a dual citizen of Maine and Florida now. Maine has clean elections, and it's a workable program, and I think any steps in those directions are good and valuable. But what we should all do is look to this national effort. We have to get three-quarters of the state legislatures to agree. That's a huge challenge right now because many of the state legislatures are controlled, you know, by conservative factions that benefit from decisions like Citizens United and McCutcheon and other decisions.
Well, Cliff, it's always good to hear from you, and I know you'll always stay involved in these sorts of things. Welcome home. All my best to Georgine, and we'll see you around, okay?
So much.
Okay. Thank you. Let me ask you, Julie, you, in the current context of the city of Tallahassee's ethics policy there, there's no reference to campaign contributions, right?
I don't believe there is at this point. But we do require candidates to disclose their finances. I mean, we have full financial disclosure in our state law and in our state constitution that folks have to disclose their financial interests. And we do require folks to list their campaign contributors. So a lot of this already exists in our state law.
Okay. You had also mentioned that you have some points of contact, too, if folks want to get a hold of you to register a concern or a complaint or even just ask a question. How do you do that?
For sure. We have part of what the Ethics Advisory Panel recommended and the city implemented in its recent ethics ordinance is that we've blended the fraud hotline with the ethics hotline. So now it's ethics and fraud. But the public can call, and the phone number is 850-891-8813. And there's also an email address that's easy to remember. It's ethics@talgov.com. That's ethics@talgov.com. And we tested both of those, and I think the phone number and the email come directly to me. So when I get those, I typically will respond immediately and get back with whoever calls or inquires and try to answer their question.
Okay. And how does that process work? Someone lodges a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
What then?
Well, someone calls and says, well, I saw a city employee doing X, Y, or Z. And, you know, what I might do is just take down the information and try to do fact-finding and resolve whatever issue might have occurred. Talk to that person's supervisor and have that supervisor talk to the employee. And, you know, most of the issues that you get are relatively minor issues that people have slight concerns over. They see something and they have a question, and most of the time you can resolve it for them. But I think the key point is that if people are frustrated or if they have a question or they're confused about something, that they have a point of contact that's willing and able to talk to them. Additionally, we do have a lot of resources for folks that want to request public records. They come down to City Hall and we've got terminals there, computers. They can search all the public records and print them out. And part of what I'm anticipating doing is pushing even more data and information out into the public website so that instead of having to, you know, come and make a request or call, a lot of the stuff is searchable right there on the city website. And so, I mean, I think you see a lot of governments going towards that, wanting to just put everything out there for the public to get. I mean, for the state now, all the state employees, their salaries are there on the internet, and that made some people uncomfortable. But, you know, at any point, you can go and access it. So I think things like that are important and enhance people's ability to engage with their government. The more information they can get, the better.
Yeah, I saw on the Leon County website that now just about every invoice is out there and is searchable. So, Dan Krasner, if Citizens for Ethics Reform gets its druthers and your charter amendment passes next Tuesday, how would your process kind of differ from what Julie just described?
Well, you would build on that. I think it's such a great thing that the Tallahassee City Commission has gotten the ball rolling. Everything Julie described for the ethics program is all moving in the right direction. So what the ethics amendment would do is just go a few steps further. One, it would allow the ethics officer to report to an independent ethics board. And that way you don't have any concerns about the city attorney or city auditor stopping investigations or you're getting in the way of true ethics enforcement, or if their departments need to be investigated, you'd want to have an independent ethics board with oversight rather than the attorney and auditor who hires and fires the ethics officer, potentially having an intimidation or keeping an investigation from happening. So an independent ethics officer, independent ethics board are really the two main enhancements to the current ethics program.
Okay, and would the board then providing that oversight, I mean, really have the power to, let's just say conceivably, in a worst-case scenario, go in and actually remove the city manager, let's say?
The city commission is going to come up with the full ethics and anti-corruption policy to implement the amendment as it passes. So, you know, we'll leave it to them to decide, you know, how far and wide the ethics board would go. That's probably going to be a few steps further than necessary, but they could certainly levy penalties, which you don't have in the city's ethics program now. If you violate the current ethics code, the ethics officer really doesn't have any penalties to enforce that code. The amendment would create a set of penalties for the ethics board to apply when people violate the ethics code.
Okay, let's head back to the phones. Benjamin's on line one. Hi, Benjamin. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering for you guys, what if we have concerns about ethics violations at a county or state level? Who can we go to, and what can we do about it?
Okay, great question. Julie, counselor?
Well, at the county, I'm not sure how that reporting works at the county, but the county attorney's office is always a good place to start if they have questions or ethical concerns. Likewise, at the state level, we do have the Florida Commission on Ethics, and they've got a prominent website, and you can contact them. However, they do require you to sign an affidavit when you're making your complaint. If you have a complaint about a state agency, you can also find the Inspector General's office for that agency, and you can contact them and initiate a complaint that way. Likewise, if there's a criminal issue, there's criminal law, you know, law enforcement, state attorney's office. So it would depend on the kind of issue you're having, but there are points of contact all over the state for reporting various kinds of misdeeds.
Yeah, and when it comes to, I mean, really egregious violations of not just ethics, but Florida statute, if laws are broken, if we're talking felony charges, the governor's office can get involved and can remove an elected official.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's also there too. Anything to add on that, Dan? If you are successful in pursuing the issue on the ballot here come Tuesday, and it is locked in for the city of Tallahassee. Any plans to advance that to the county or, as you said, the school district level?
I think it'll be up to the citizens. You know, 20,000 Tallahassee residents signed petitions wanting a stronger ethics program for the city of Tallahassee. I wanted to prevent corruption from coming into our city as it has in other places around the state. So clearly there's a big mess at the school district, and there ought to be some discussion about how to prevent corruption and how to strengthen the ethics policies of the school district. And certainly Integrity Florida and Citizens for Ethics Reform would be happy to be part of future conversations with our community about how to stop corruption at all levels of government.
Do not, I guess, the voters still hold the ultimate card when it comes to enforcement of ethics. If you have an elected official or even an appointed official who is being overseen by those elected officials, I mean, you can go in, you can remove those people from office if that is what it takes.
They can be removed from office, and there are fines and penalties in existing statutes. And, you know, I'd also point out that the city is not responsible for the school board at this point. So we've kind of lumped them all together. But it is important to distinguish, you know, the city has its functions, and our current headlines are dealing with something not the city's responsibility.
Yeah. And Dan, as you said, if there is a public preference for this kind of thing to be expanded to other governmental institutions in this area, that is always available too, correct?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we know that our state legislature and our Congress and our courts have let us down. There's so many loopholes in our ethics and corruption laws at the local, state, and federal level. So I think increasingly you're going to see citizens coming together, like the diverse group, the Citizens for Ethics Reform, you know, from across the political spectrum, you know, left, right, everywhere in between, to say, you know, we don't want corruption in our communities. And while we can't in our city overturn Citizens United or the McCutcheon decisions, we can begin to speak out against the corrupting influence of money in politics by passing local anti-corruption amendments like the one on the ballot here in Tallahassee on November 4th.
Let me revisit that one thing that Cliff Thayil had brought up before in our chat with him. When it comes to if you put in, well, the $250 campaign limit, does that not give additional motivation, I guess, to drive some of that money underground to places where it does not need to be disclosed, the C4s, the 527s, all those kinds of mechanisms that people can use to fund political action without coming out and saying, hey, here's who's paying us for this?
There are always going to be bad actors. Money is going to find its way into the system, but I applaud Commissioner Thiel and Leon County voters, the Leon County Charter Review Commission that said, you know, we want to have a limit of $250 in the county. That's what this community has said we wanted, to send a message about money in politics, and that's what the voters of Tallahassee put on the ballot, to send a similar message for city campaigns.
How do you see, I guess this is kind of the crystal ball question here, but things significantly changing or maybe not changing if the initiative goes through on the ballot, Dan?
Well, you know, some of the initiative goes through. I mean, the first thing we want to do is come into City Hall and work together. We want to work with the city attorney, the city auditor, the city ethics officer, city commission, and mayor. I mean, we'll need to work together constructively on a plan for implementation. The charter gives directional language, but it doesn't set a budget. It doesn't have all the details. So, this November 4th anti-corruption amendment on the ballot puts ethics, the programs that Billy talked about, into our city charter, to say ethics is important enough to be in the charter. But we'll all have to come together as a community and work together on implementation. I look forward to that opportunity.
Okay, so work in progress, essentially, and you'll need additional citizen input, commission involvement, all that sort of thing to really get the piece parts assembled to make this thing work.
Definitely. And one of the first things we'll want to do is have the ethics officer from the city of Jacksonville, Carla Miller, come over, because much of the ethics officer and ethics board language in the amendment is modeled after Jacksonville, and they have a really well-run program there. And full disclosure, Carla is on the board of Integrity Florida, and she her group, City Ethics, helped in the drafting of the amendment.
That's terrific. Well, I really appreciate your taking part in the program, Dan, and to the folks and the Citizens for Ethics Reform, thank you. And to Julie Meadows, Keith, thank you for coming in and talking about your job and what ethics looks like now with the city of Tallahassee.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls back there handling the phone calls and online connections. I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us again next week for more expert opinion and, of course, your input, too, right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.